Walleye are one of the most popular game fish species in Ontario, and it's no wonder. They are plentiful and they taste great. By the way, walleye season opens on the Bay of Quinte this weekend. Sighting in your firearm isn't easy, and it has its challenges. One is trying to find a place where you're permitted to target shoot. Asian carp have devastated the watersheds they have entered in the United States. Keeping them out of the Great Lakes is no easy task, and we need your help in preventing Asian carp from finding their way into Canada.
Yamaha Canada proudly presents the Angler and Hunter Radio Show, the voice of anglers and hunters. On today's show,
Jimmy Johnson, longtime fishing guide from the Bay of Quinte in Land O'Lakes, joins us to talk about the region's great fishing opportunities. Tom Ott from Buckeye Firearms Training Center discusses the proper way to sight in our firearms and where we can safely and legally do it. And Becky Cudmore, Senior Science Advisor on Aquatic Invasive Species and the Manager for the Department of Fisheries and Oceans Center of Expertise for Aquatic Risk Assessment, gives us some tips on how we can help to prevent Asian carp from finding their way into our waterways, plus the Yuzuri Outdoor Quiz and more on today's Angler and Hunter Radio.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge, pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and only through this limited time offer. A Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna, a Coast LED headlamp, Fish Crisp Original, and a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and three tackle boxes. Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org. Invasive species are one of the greatest threats to the health of Ontario's ecosystems. The Invading Species Awareness Program provides outreach, education, and an avenue for the public to report sightings of invasive species through the Invading Species Hotline. To report an invasive species or to learn more about the program, call us at 1-800-563-7711. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com. Or give them a call, toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876, and he utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus Knives. Stay sharper, longer.
Did you know four species of invasive fish known as Asian carps are threatening to invade the Great Lakes? These fish have the potential to devour the food sources and habitat our native fish depend on and negatively impact our ability to enjoy our lakes and rivers. Help prevent the introduction of Asian carps. Report sightings to the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
If it's turkey hunting supplies you need, come to TSE Stores. We're excited about turkey hunting season 2. Don't forget to show your OFAH membership card.
TSE Stores, get a good deal more. Your incredible country hardware store.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Fishing Corner is brought to you by CUDA. Fierce, tough, proven.
Welcome to the voice of Anglers and Hunters, Angler and Hunter Radio. The Bay of Quinte is renowned for its great angling opportunities. In fact, walleye season opens there this weekend. I caught up to veteran fishing guide Jimmy Johnson at a recent trade show to chat about this great fishery and others in the region.
From Tweed Recreational Sport and Lawn, Jimmy, welcome to Angler and Hunter Radio. How are you doing?
Very good to see you again.
So you've been around the track. You've done a lot of hunting and fishing, especially the Bay of Quinte area. How did you get started in this business? How did this whole fishing thing get started with you?
Just something I wanted to do right out of high school. I'd done a lot of fishing, you know, during that time and thought, well, maybe I'll try my hand at the guiding.
Yeah.
My dad just about kicked me in the rear end. I didn't think it was a great idea. Between the guiding, I went on into boat sales. And met a lot of good people in the industry, and I'm still plugging away at it.
Still plugging away?
26, 27 years later.
Wow. Now, as far as guiding goes, was it an eye-opener? I guess you fishing and hunting, but for fishing, was it an eye-opener in terms of all of a sudden you're taking clients out? And
in the early days, it was all Americans.
Okay.
Ohio, Pennsylvania people. Not that we didn't have Canadians that wanted to walleye fish. I had my share of those, too. Now, it's mainly Canadians.
Okay.
We do get some Americans coming up, but there's good walleye fishing on the American side now, Lake Erie, so we don't see in the Quinte area as many Americans coming as we used to.
Okay.
But lots of people from the city of Toronto, the GTA area, Montreal, Ottawa, and even Northern Ontario used to come down for a trophy walleye bite.
So over time, there's been a change, obviously a notable change in your demographic of people. The people from Ontario that are guiding, are they non-boat owners, just people who want to try fishing or want to go fishing, but they don't want to have the responsibilities of owning a boat and all that type of thing?
Exactly. There's a lot of people that have tried the boating end of it and now don't have time to use a boat enough to get their money's worth out of it. So they'll hire people like myself to take them out. They come two or three times a year, and they don't have the hassle of trying to store it, especially people in the city.
Yeah.
And then I still get the diehards that, no, they're not giving up their boat, but they just want to find out what's happening. So they come back again. So okay. They can go out next time with their boat, enjoy the experience on their own.
Right. So you go back out guiding, and you see them there.
Exactly.
But, I mean, Bay of Quinte is a big bay.
Big bay, yeah. And now I'm working up north as well.
Okay.
So now I'm starting to fish some of the Land O'Lakes region, which is
okay.
An awesome environment. Little bit of a learning curve there, but
yeah.
Excellent bass fishing, smallmouth, largemouth, pike, big pike, lake trout, and a lot of the lakes, splake. So it's a nice opportunity. You've got Quinte down towards the 401, the Cloyne area, all that area up through Land O'Lakes, and it's different scenery. So now I'm swinging a few of my clients up that way.
Well, you know, that, and you bring up a good point. I guess the fishing pressure probably isn't as strong in Land O'Lakes in terms of, like, your Deer Rock and Story Lake and all these smaller lakes. So the
yes.
fishing would be good.
The fishing's good. It's beautiful scenery. And the other thing is, if you don't have a 16, 17, 18-foot boat, the type that you should have for the Quinte,
right.
because it can get rough out there,
yeah.
a lot of the lakes in the north, regardless of the wind, you can still get out and fish them.
Yeah.
So it's lots of people have 14s. I see them out in 12s. It's a more sheltered environment up there on most of the lakes, and it's good fishing. And then they take in the camping at Bon Echo and the provincial parks in that area.
Nice.
So it works out well.
More fishing tips with Bay of Quinte fishing guide Jimmy Johnson after these words.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Outdoor Quiz is brought to you by Yozuri. Fish the best.
Can real deer urine be used as an attractant for hunting? We'll have the answer when we return after these important words.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge, pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and, only through this limited time offer, a Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna, a Coast LED headlamp, Fish Crisp Original, and a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and three tackle boxes. Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org.
Mike Miller here from Angler and Hunter Television. Aquatic invasive species and fish-killing diseases like VHS threaten the health of Lake Simcoe. By taking 2 minutes to clean, drain, and dry your boat every time you take it out of the water, you will help stop the spread of aquatic invasive species into Lake Simcoe and other water bodies in Ontario. For more information, contact the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program as part of the Operation Boat Clean campaign.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com or give them a call toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Caster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876 and utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus Knives. Stay sharper, longer.
If it's turkey hunting supplies you need, come to TSE Stores. We're excited about turkey hunting season two. Don't forget to show your OFAH membership card.
TSE Stores, get a good deal more. Your incredible country hardware store.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Outdoor Quiz is brought to you by Yozuri. Fish the best.
Can real deer urine be used as an attractant for hunting? It is illegal to use real deer urine for hunting in Ontario.
Welcome back to Angler and Hunter Radio. You know, the Bay of Quinte has a world-renowned walleye fishery. And as luck would have it, the season opens there this weekend. You are listening to my chat with longtime Bay of Quinte fishing guide, Jimmy Johnson.
Now, over the years, and I haven't fished Bay of Quinte a lot, but I did fish Bay of Quinte in the early 80s, right through to the late 80s, and I did some tournament fishing out there. And since that time, the bay's gone through a lot of changes.
Yes, continual. There were a lot of people that come down for Quinte's Trophy bite this fall. Mm-hmm. It was really off. Uh-huh. We've had some up and down years in the past, but this fall has been a mind changer.
Right.
None of us seemed to be able to figure it out. It was extremely mild, And that usually doesn't bring the feed bag on those big trophy walleyes.
Right.
Even when the weather got cooler, the numbers of fish being caught were nowhere near what it was in other years. So we're just going to have to see. A lot of bait fish. A lot of fish were suspended deep this year. We'll see what next year brings.
Yeah, and you know, I've noticed probably more with walleye than anything. With Quinny, the bass, especially largemouth bass fishing, I never found to be that great in the 80s. By the time the late 90s came around, I mean, you could just literally cast a line anywhere in Bay of Quinte and catch a bass. So some habitat changes, that sort of thing. But with walleyes, we get those swift changes where you get a lot of bait fish. It doesn't mean that there's not a lot of walleyes. It just maybe get a little more difficult to catch.
And the younger year classes are still prevalent in the bay. There's still good walleye fishing for fish from pound and a half, those nice little eating size fish, up to 4 and 5 pounds. The only thing that we're seeing just in the last couple of years is the numbers dropping off on the trophy bite.
Right, right.
But there again, there's a lot of those fish when they're 15, 14, 13 pounds. Those are old fish. They don't live forever.
Well, no, absolutely. So, but the genes are still there.
The other thing we're seeing now is huge numbers of lake trout coming into the area.
Into Bay of Quinte?
Well, into the reach just below the bay.
Really?
I wouldn't doubt that they'll return to some of the spots up into the bay. We used to catch them right outside Picton Harbor years ago. There was a couple of humps there. You could fish them all day long. Guys are catching big lakers, 10, 15, 20-pound lakers.
Wow.
Lots of numbers. So maybe that's going to make up for the walleye bite slacking a bit. The nice thing about the lake trout, you catch them in the spring, and you catch them in the fall.
Right.
Whereas the trophy bite for the big walleyes was mainly in the fall.
Yeah. So, and I mean, Bay of Quinte is such a big area.
True.
I mean, you can go there and there's so many different places to fish. Would finding fish be more difficult? Maybe that's why they use the guiding more.
It's just, I think, a lot of people were intimidated at the size of the bay.
Yeah.
And if you, I'd do the same thing. If I was going into an area where it was big water, the first thing I'd do is consider hiring a guide.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
You're going to learn everything. You'll learn more in a day than you would an entire summer of being out there.
Yeah.
And the guys are very open with sharing their information.
So it's a
great thing. Support the industry. The bass fishing is still incredible in the bay. Panfish is still good. Crappies at certain times of the year are strong. Bay of Quinte is a good spot. I think overall probably as healthy multi-species as it's ever been.
Right. So for a destination for somebody who's just going to come out fishing, if you had a choice to send them to Picton, Trenton, or Belleville, which one would be the one?
It's kind of hard to say because there's good fishing in all of those locations.
Right.
And a lot of it overlaps. So
even Westlake.
Westlake can be phenomenal for bass.
Yeah.
And actually, Westlake this summer was very good for eating size walleyes.
Yeah.
Doesn't last the entire summer. But it was good, steady fishing in Westlake.
Yeah, so lots of destinations to go to. If you're ever interested in going out there, if you want some help, some information, or if you want to hire a great guide, contact Jimmy Johnson at Tweed Recreational Sport and Lawn. Thanks.
Thank you, Randy.
Taking aim at safe firearm practices when we return with more Angler and Hunter Radio.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Fishing Corner is brought to you by CUDA. Fierce. Tough. Proven.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge, pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and only through this limited time offer. A Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna. A Coast LED headlamp. Fish Crisp Original. And a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and three tackle boxes.
Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com or give them a call toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876, and he utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus Knives. Stay sharper, longer.
Going fishing this summer? You should know that invasive species can be spread to new areas through the improper disposal of bait. If using live bait fish, buy locally. Never dump your leftover bait or bait bucket water into or within 30 meters of a water body. It's illegal. Freeze or salt unused bait for future use or properly dispose of it in the trash. For more information, contact the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Hunting Corner is brought to you by Camillus, quality knives since 1876.
Welcome back to Angler and Hunter Radio. Part of being a responsible hunter is ensuring your firearm is sighted in. Accuracy and shot placement are imperative to a quick and humane kill. So how do you properly sight in your firearm, and where can you legally do it? So joining me is Tom Ott from Buckeye Firearms Training. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm doing excellent, Randy, and yourself?
Pretty good, pretty good. You know, I remember, back when I was a kid, got my first .22, and went out hunting with my dad, and I seen this grouse walk out on the trail. And I shot at him about four times and missed him every time. And the reason why was because I didn't sight in my gun. Didn't have a clue where how to do it or where to do it or that type of thing. And I imagine, you know, since then, I've obviously come a long way. But for our listeners, to know the importance of sighting in your firearm.
Sure, that's absolutely true, Randy. The first thing is an ethical hunter will always sight in their firearm because... Once we've made the decision to pull the trigger on another creature, it's our responsibility to do everything we can to make a good, clean, quick kill shot and make an ethical kill.
I think starting off with that type of firearm, we're talking about open sights here. So, you've got, or as I call them, iron sights or buckhorn sights. I guess everybody's got their own terms for them. How would you go about sighting in one of these firearms? What steps would you take?
Well, really, with the open sights, and they are still really common. In fact, for a lot of deer hunting in Ontario, I think it's still the preferred method because so many animals are taken within that 50-yard mark. And I think probably the first key to sighting in any firearm would be start by taking your first few shots at a very close range. So first of all, so that you can spot where you are, where you're tracking on paper, but also because we've got safety concern. If your sights happen to be way off, you don't know where those first couple bullets are going to be coming down.
Right, so maybe 10, 15 yards, something like that?
Yeah, for one or two shots, or even 25, typically, we would be on paper. But we definitely, people make the mistake of taking their first shot at 50 or 100, and usually it's not productive because you can't find yourself on paper, and secondly, it's not safe because if you're not on paper, you're really not sure where you are either. Usually with iron sights, most people with a high-power rifle are fairly comfortable out to about 100-yard mark. I've seen people able to shoot consistently beyond that with it, but most of us, when we get beyond 100, we're starting to consider something with magnification to it.
So how are we going to adjust these sites? You know, what's a rule we can go by to make sure that we're moving them in the right direction to get closer to the target?
Yeah, so typically with iron sights or open sights, the rear sight is the only one that's going to adjust. And it will normally have a height adjustment on it as well as a windage adjustment or a left right adjustment to it. The rule of thumb is fairly straightforward, that if I move the rear sight to the left, I'm also going to move my bullet to the left.
Okay. So, and same with your elevation up and down?
That's exactly correct.
So move the sight in the direction you want your bullet to go.
That's exactly right. If I move my rear sight to the left, my next shot is going to have the bullet further to the left.
Okay. And the one nice thing about, I find anyway, about open sights is you still have some peripheral vision. And like you're saying, very popular for deer hunting in Ontario because, you know, a lot of times with dogs or people pushing deer and you're shooting at deer that are actually moving, you can get a good idea of what's, you know, in your peripheral vision, if there's other deer, if whatever's there. So really, you know, a very reliable and good system. Would you sight in your firearm yearly, or how do you feel about that personally?
Absolutely, and we always encourage everybody in our group to make sure that they've taken a few shots with their gun before they get to camp. It's unfortunate when people show up the day before the opener and they insist on making noise up at the camp.
That's probably not very helpful.
it's really not. It's really not. I'm still a firm believer that the animals are not stupid. They know when the season is starting. They know something is up. If you are taking a few shots of it every year, you'll find, unless it has been bumped or dropped or something like that, chances are pretty good. You're going to take three shots, pattern pretty good, and be happy with it.
Yeah, exactly. So moving on to scopes, you know, a scope obviously magnifies your field of view. You can see further, shoot further, in theory. Your peripheral view is really challenged there. You're really going to be just focused on your target. I'm sure that we're still going to sight them in, you know, seasonally to make sure that they're working properly. But in terms of actually the process of sighting in a scope, how would that differ from open sights, or does it?
You know, it really doesn't differ a lot in terms of your adjustment, your windage adjustment, and your height adjustment. They're labeled quite clearly on the scope, and every scope will adjust a little bit different. But the owner's manual is always very clear on that. A standard would be when you make an adjustment, it'll actually be by clicks.
Yeah.
And standard would be one click is going to affect your bullet by 1/4 of an inch at 100 yards. But that's not cast in stone. Every manufacturer can be a little bit different.
Right, right.
The one thing that we do recommend, Randy, when folks buy a firearm and have a scope put on it, or in some cases the manufacturers are selling combinations, so you're buying a rifle with the scope mounted already. The beauty of doing it that way is they will have you roughly in the neighborhood. You're not going to be sighted in, but you shouldn't be a hazard at the range either.
Right, okay.
If somebody purchases a firearm and then chooses later to put a scope on, we do encourage you to, if you're able to bore sight it yourself, that's a great idea. If not, we would suggest that you have a qualified individual mount that scope for you. And that way, again, at least when you make that first 25-yard shot, you're going to be on paper.
Yeah, so the bore sighter, quite simply a device that they'll attach to the muzzle of your firearm and generally points the bore of your firearm at the target. And aligns that with the scope. So great idea. I mean, at least then you know you're going to hit the paper and that sort of thing. And I think it's probably a good idea to have a professional mount the scope and do that, because you know it's a great step that's already going to be taken for you. Maybe you can negotiate that into the price of the firearm.
That's right. And we've seen it where we've had even friends at the range sighting in with us, and they could not get their firearm to pattern consistently. And it turns out that they've just done a poor job of mounting the scope, and the scope is actually moving around a little bit. So, if you have a qualified individual do it, you're going to alleviate that sort of problem.
That's interesting, Tom, because another thing, and I've even come across this not recently, but several years ago with the new shotguns that shoot the sabot slugs.
Right.
Really, really bring home the importance of keeping your firearm clean.
And these sabots, it's actually just a, for you listeners who aren't familiar with them, it's a slug that's encapsulated in some sort of a plastic. And that plastic really builds up in the bore of the firearm. So after, you know, after shooting the firearm several times, that buildup can actually cause the firearm to be inaccurate. And I'm sure that that's no different, is it, Tom, in any firearms with any ammunition?
That's absolutely true. It is amplified more with the sabot slugs because that plastic builds up so heavily. And the place where we actually see it even worse than the sabot slugs is if some of your listeners choose to hunt with a muzzle loader.
Yes.
Now, with a sabot slug or a power belt coming out of a muzzle loader, oftentimes you can only get three or four shots, and there's so much buildup in that rifling that you actually have to clean the firearm. So it will have a dramatic impact on those firearms, but definitely somewhat on a rifle as well.
Yeah, and make sure that you're using the right type of, not only process, but, and this is a whole new show, but the right type of cleaner too, something that's going to take that buildup out of the bore of your firearm.
That's right. The other point that we like to emphasize with sighting in your rifle, Randy, is it's quite important that you take your final sight-in shots with the ammunition that you're intending to use for your hunt. I've seen it numerous times on my guns as well, where I'll sight in with a particular type of ammunition, and then take a few shots with even the same weight ammunition, but a different bullet design, and all of a sudden I'm not patterning well, or I'm shooting in a slightly different slot. So the ammunition that you use will make a difference.
We will return with more on Sighting in Your Firearms with Tom Ott from Buckeye Firearm Training after these important words.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge, pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com. Or give them a call, toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876, and he utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus knives stay sharper, longer.
Invasive plants are known to spread along walking trails and other natural areas people like to visit. You can help stop their spread by checking for and removing any seeds or plant parts that may have attached to your footwear, gear, or pets before you leave the trail. For more information, contact the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
Whether you're a target shooter or a hunter, sighting in your firearm should be part of your regular maintenance schedule. You are listening to my chat with Tom Ott from Buckeye Firearm Training on the hows and wheres of sighting in your firearm. How about where we can go now? Can we just, target shoot on our own property, or are there some limitations? Where do you go to sight in your firearm? I'll bet you a lot of people struggle with this one.
People do struggle, and sometimes the answer is not quite what I wish it would be for people, because it is difficult to become a member of a gun range at this point. We do have quite a vast selection of ranges in Ontario, but most are full, and some will put you on a waiting list, some will not. But there are a few options, Randy. If somebody does want to become a member of a club, what we encourage them to do is be persistent, be tenacious. Every club does require new members every year, as people don't renew or pass away or stop shooting, and And they have to get new members so that they can pay their bills as well. And if you're persistent, you'll put yourself in a position where it might take a year or two or three, but you will be one of those new members.
Right.
In the interim, if you wanted to site in, many clubs will offer community days. I'm a member of a small club, and we twice a year we will offer a community day where a couple of our members will supervise the range. And I think we ask for a contribution of $20 towards our insurance, and you can come in and use a 100-yard range and sight in your rifle or a couple of rifles. And I know that many gun ranges will do that, so that is certainly an option.
Yeah, that's a great option now. And I can add to, sighting in on your own property, certainly not a problem provided you check with all your laws, and I do mean all laws, including your local bylaws and discharge of firearm bylaws, that make sure that it's allowed on your property.
That's exactly right, Randy. If you do live in a rural area, or if you own, for example, a rural property, you might live in the GTA, but if you have a hunt camp or a rural property in, for argument's sake, Halliburton or Bancroft, if you were sighting in on your own property and it was legal, there was no bylaws against it, that works out great. And the beauty of it is as you get further north, people are more used to gunfire in the bush. They're not startled by it. They're much less likely to call the authorities. And the authorities also, if you were, for argument's sake, in North Bay, and the OPP received a phone call saying, I've heard gunfire in the bush.
Yeah.
Well, that's just not going to attract anybody's attention because yeah, it's common there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but you're right. And if it was in a big city center like Toronto or something, there'd obviously be some concern there for sure. So
that's right.
So keep that
in
mind.
Of course, that's right. And of course, it's gonna depend on the firearm. You know, if you're there with your 12-year-old and you're sighting in a 22 caliber long rifle, that's not likely to disturb neighbors in a rural setting too much. But if you happen to be shooting a 300 Remington Ultramag, you're going to get to know your neighbors from quite a distance.
Yeah, they do make a lot of noise, that's for sure. So some great tips there. Anything to add, Tom?
Yeah, the only other thing I might add, Randy, is we had talked a little bit earlier about the other class of scope, like the optical or the electronic.
The red dot, which is a non-magnifying scope but has an LED spot on it, and it looks like a scope, yeah.
Yeah, but the beauty of the red dot is it's somewhere between your scope and your iron sights, because you do have good peripheral vision. It's not magnified, so it's two eyes open. The other beauty of it, what we find, particularly for something like black bear hunting or for white-tailed deer hunting, is you're very quick on your target. What we've seen numerous times at our deer hunting camp is some of the younger fellows will come up and they will purchase a rifle and scope combination package, and unfortunately, it's simply the wrong hardware for the hunt. We had it last year, with no exaggeration. One of our folks had five deer within 40 yards and was unable to get a shot at anything because he had a scope with magnification, and it's very difficult to find your target in a magnified scope like that.
Yeah, it would be, because at that closer range, it's so focused, all you're going to see is brown hide, and unfortunately, deer don't have targets drawn on them. So it's intuitive. You don't know where you're shooting. And I can say I've had that happen to me once with a crossbow, too. So yeah.
Right.
And the red dot's nice. Aim and point and a great addition there. That's awesome.
Yeah, and the red dots, they're also, it's a cost-effective solution as well, because you can pick up a good red dot scope in camo for maybe $120.
Right.
I would caution people, if you folks in our camp just sent away by mail order for a no-name red dot scope, and you do want to be careful. In some cases, you get what you pay for. Those scopes simply could not be sighted in. You would take a few shots and make your adjustment, and then you take a few more, and they simply would not stay consistent.
I see. Yeah. So yeah, if you get what you pay for, look for a brand name, and don't forget the red dot as an alternative to either your open sights or your scopes. That's awesome, Tom. Well, Tom is from Buckeye Firearms Training in Uxbridge, and he's a Canadian firearm instructor. He's a hunter education instructor and a Canadian restricted firearm instructor. So, Tom, how can people get in touch with you if they want some further information on training, or if they just want to ask you a question about something?
An excellent way to contact me would be via email. And you can pull my email address off of our website, which is www.huntsafe.ca. So if you're going to hunt in Ontario, let's be safe about it. Huntsafe.ca, that's got our schedule, and it's got our contact information, and we'd be delighted to see any of your listeners, and we'd be delighted to field questions from them.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Tom, and good luck with your hunting and your teaching this year.
Thank you, Randy. Take care. Bye-bye.
An impending invasion when we return after these words.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Hunting Corner is brought to you by Camillus, quality knives since 1876.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge, pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and only through this limited time offer. A Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna, a Coast LED headlamp, Fish Crisp Original, and a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and three tackle boxes. Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com, or give them a call toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876, and he utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus Knives. Stay sharper, longer.
Invasive species are one of the greatest threats to the health of Ontario's ecosystems. The Invading Species Awareness Program provides outreach, education, and an avenue for the public to report sightings of invasive species through the Invading Species Hotline. To report an invasive species or to learn more about the program, call us at 1-800-563-7711. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
Welcome back to Angler and Hunter Radio. The devastation caused by the invasion of sea lamprey into the Great Lakes has cost millions, and still does. We can only control them. They will never be extirpated. Preventing invasive species such as Asian carp from entering the Great Lakes will not only preserve the fishery, but prevent costs in perpetuity like that of the sea lamprey. So joining us today is Becky Cudmore. And she's with Fisheries and Oceans. She's the manager of the Asian Carp Program. Becky, welcome to Angler and Hunter Radio.
Well, thanks, Randy. Thanks for having me on.
So I'm sure that most of our listeners have heard about Asian carp, but as far as an aquatic invasive species go, maybe we can backtrack a little bit and you can give us an example of the different types of Asian carp and whether or not they're in Ontario or where are we at with all of this right now?
Yeah, sure, no problem. So invasive species are species that are not originally native to an area and are having an impact on the ecosystem, the economy, and or the other aspects of the environment, or have the potential to have an impact. And Asian carp are a group of four freshwater species that are not native to the Great Lakes and have the potential to have an impact. So they are classified as invasive species.
Right, right. And I guess where they are right now would be obviously south in the United States and causing a lot of damage down there.
Right. So they are currently found just south of the Lake Michigan Basin. Obviously, Lake Michigan being connected to our Canadian Great Lakes, this proximity is cause for concern. They are having an impact there. They're having an impact on other freshwater fish species, on the commercial and recreational fisheries. And because we're seeing that impact happening there, we want to prevent that occurring here in Canadian waters.
So, Becky, what I've heard, and I try to keep up on these things, is these Asian carp actually undermine the ecosystem. In other words, they kind of pull the carpet out from under other species of aquatic species, native species.
Right. So there are a few ecological characteristics that makes a species a good invader, producing a lot of offspring, growing really quickly, having few predators, being really adaptable and able to survive in new ecosystems, and Asian carp have all of these characteristics.
Right, right. Yeah, so they seem to be really good at reproducing, and they adapt to their environment really fast. So obviously part of this is assessing, you know, the risk of them coming here and then figuring out, you know, how do you stop them from coming here? There's obviously hot spots. There's areas where they enter or where they could enter Ontario. How do you deal with all of this? I mean, this is a lot to deal with here.
Right. So what we need to do is we have to look at the big picture and then start looking at the details. The first thing we need to consider is, are these species at risk, for our waters? And we look at the probability of the species arriving, surviving, establishing, and spreading in our waters, as well as what the magnitude of the consequences would be. So that's our big picture, and then we start to break it down. So the probability of the species arriving through what pathways, in what ways, and then that provides some advice on putting up roadblocks along those pathways. So we've been looking at things like, obviously, just general movement, general spread from where they are now into the Great Lakes through waterway systems, as well as human movement, moving these species through live trade, such as for the food fish trade, or through bait. So we have to look at all these aspects and assess what is the level of risk, what's the possibility, and what can we do to put up roadblocks.
Well, so that's very complex, because if there's an Asian carp in somebody's minnow bucket, I mean, really, really difficult to find something like that and detect it.
It really is. So we've got putting in a lot of effort in the Great Lakes community in both Canada and the U.S. to help people identify these species, so that they can recognize them if they do find them in their bait buckets, to educate people, to let them know don't release live bait in waters you didn't catch it from, as well as put up regulations in some cases as well.
Right, right. Yeah, so obviously it's of the utmost importance that invasive species are identified, that you know right away so that you can work on a plan to eradicate them. And I'm thinking back when I was young and what a problem the sea lamprey were at that time. And I mean, literally, we'd go fishing, Becky, and we'd see trout with these lampreys attached to them. This is something that's still ongoing, but they're being controlled. And I guess what I'm saying is, if we could have eradicated them right from the beginning, we wouldn't have had to spend all these millions of dollars every year trying to keep them under control. Would you say the Asian carp are kind of the same? You know, we're looking at the same kind of angle with these if they do happen to get into our Great Lakes?
Absolutely. And I think the sea lamprey is an excellent example of learning from history. We don't want to get to the same place with Asian carp as we are now with sea lamprey, which is a very successful program in controlling that the level of impact those species have on the recreational commercial fishery. But we can't eradicate them at this time. They're still there. It's an ongoing control program. So our focus is the front end of this invasion. So trying to prevent them from arriving, keeping populations, if they did arrive, to a very low level. So really getting on the front end and not waiting for a well-established population of Asian carp to occur in Canadian waters.
Yeah. And do we know right now if there are any? I know that we've heard in the media of some being found in like some holding ponds and maybe one that wasn't really a reproducing one, but do we have sort of a feeling that maybe there are some already in Lake Ontario?
So all we've found in Lake Ontario were a few individuals over a few months. And a few of those were reproductively viable specimens. There's no evidence of reproduction in the Canadian waters of the Great Lakes, therefore no evidence of an established population. So we're still well ahead of the game. And because of the finds of these Lake Ontario grass carp last summer, we do have plans to go out as soon as possible, as soon as the field season opens for us, and make sure there aren't any others out there.
I see. So, and it's not just, doing this all on your own is would be an impossible task. And we talked about how anglers can help by identifying these species and getting in touch with you. And we'll talk a little bit later about how they can do that. But other partners, you must have other partners assisting you with this.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't do this on our own. The Great Lakes are immense. So we do rely on anglers and people to be on the lookout for us. More eyes on the water, the better. But really, a lot of our key activities are done through very strong collaborative partnerships. Obviously, the Great Lakes is an international body of water. We have to work very closely with the United States. The current established population is in the United States, so it is essential for us to work with them. We also work with our colleagues with the province of Ontario, and of course we have really successful partnerships with non-governmental organizations such as Anglers and Hunters, Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters, and they've been really key in getting the message out to people, what's the threat, what is the threat these species pose to Canadian waters, and what can people do about it.
Yeah, awareness is huge, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
It really is. So with that being said, for our listeners, I guess the first thing is, where can they find out more information so that they can help you to identify any invasive, aquatic invasive species that they may come across?
So I think there's two really good key websites to check out. I think that's a great place for people to start. So I would start with the Invading Species Awareness Program. That's with the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. They do maintain a reporting hotline as well as an app for your smartphone to report any sightings.
Okay, EdMaps, yep.
Yeah, absolutely, EdMaps. And as well, we also have a website, www.asiancarp.ca. And there are a lot of key information available there as well.
Excellent. So you can find more information on Asian carps on these websites. You can also learn a little bit more on these websites on how to identify them in case you should see one or catch one and know where to report it so that if it's found immediately. And I guess we have actually an example of that, do we not, Becky, where somebody actually identified one and you guys were all over it really quick.
Yeah, it's important for us to deal with a capture as quick as possible. And we have had anglers call in, and in fact, in 2013, an angler had contacted the Invading Species Awareness Hotline and did actually pull in a grass carp. So we were out on the water within hours.
That is great. So an example of how this awareness really, really helps. So there again, www.asiancarps.ca, and for more information, or go to the Ontario Federation of Angler and Hunters website. Becky, thank you so much for taking time with us today.
Well, thanks, Randy. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, and maybe we'll do a little update later on in the season and see how you're making out.
Great, sounds good.
In the news, Forest Ontario is bringing Envirothon to Peterborough this summer with the support of the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. And CEO Rob Keane dropped by recently to give us some details. So, can you tell the listeners a little bit about Forest Ontario?
You bet. Forest Ontario is a not-for-profit charity. Our primary focus is to ensure we have healthy forests for our future. And we do that by supporting tree planting, forestry education, and certainly awareness, and making sure people are completely aware of how important our forests are to us. each and every day of our lives.
Yeah. So, what are there certain focuses in Ontario that you're working on?
Yeah. So certainly we have one of our primary tree planting programs is the 50 million tree plant program.
Okay.
It's supported by the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry, and the target for that program is to plant 50 million trees by the year 2025.
Okay, that's a lot of trees.
It is. Actually, each year we're planting about 3 million trees. And most of the focus is here in southern Ontario. It's a very fragmented landscape here, so there's lots of old, abandoned agricultural-type fields that we can focus our efforts on. But we do some of the tree planting in northern Ontario as well that has similar type of landscapes. Those old, abandoned agricultural fields, those are the ones that, if they're not being used for agricultural purposes, then, putting trees back on them is just a great way to actually increase the value of the property by putting the trees there. As you said, it really creates a lot of wildlife habitat opportunities and certainly recreation opportunities as well.
Yeah, exactly. And the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters has become a sponsor of another segment of Forest Ontario, which is in the Envirothon. What can you tell our listeners about Envirothon?
Yeah, so this is actually really exciting. We're going to be hosting the 2016 North American Envirothon this summer at Trent University in Peterborough. And that program is going to bring around 500 to 600 people from across North America, and those include students and teachers, parents and family members, that will be, and the students will be participating in Envirothon. Envirothon itself is essentially an environmental competition. And students, high school students, participate in the competition. And right across North America, this program is promoted. And the high school kids are learning about the forest, the wildlife, the water, soils. And this year, actually, we're going to be the fifth subject, which is the theme subject, is going to be invasive species. And
okay.
I know the OFH is very involved with helping to promote and educate folks about invasive species here in Ontario.
Right. So how do you take an awareness subject like this and turn it into a competition?
Well, actually, so the kids are, throughout North America, they compete at a local level, and they are outside, hands-on, and they go out and, with soils, they dig soil pits and describe what those soil pits are and forests. They're talking about what tree species there are and heights and diameters and things with the trees. And so they're tested on those types of themes within each subject matter.
Okay.
And so at the local level, they compete. And then we have, various districts right across North America have a regional competition and then a state or provincial competition. And then it's the winners of those that come on and move forward to the North American competition.
Interesting. So we're taking the theory of all of this and we're applying a tactile practice to our future land stewards, I guess you could call them, because
exactly right, Randy. It's it is amazing the number of people that I run into that have had some sort of connection with Envirothon in the past, and quite often, they said it was something that pointed them in the direction of doing something for the environment and getting into environmental studies and such.
Yeah, you know what? A wise person once said that the great outdoors and the trees and our wildlife could get along great without us, but we really can't get along very good without them.
You're so right.
So anything else our listeners should know about Envirothon?
It's going to be a fantastic competition. Like I said, we're going to have an opportunity to showcase Ontario and all the great things that we do here and certainly the great things that the OFH does for the environment and for the wildlife and such. And so we're going to have a lot of folks here in Peterborough to have a look at all those things. So we're pretty excited about it. So anybody that's interested, they could follow our tweet site and check it out.
Yeah. So how can they find out more information? Websites and, like you say, Twitter, Facebook, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So certainly, if they go to our website, www.forestontario.ca, that's going to have a lot of information about the Envirothon there. And that is a great place to go to and find out more about it.
Great, good stuff. Well, thank you so much for taking out some time to give us some awareness about these great programs that Forests Ontario are involved in and the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. And can't wait to see it up in Peterborough.
I look forward to that, Randy. Thanks so much.
The Angler and Hunter Radio Show has been brought to you by Yamaha. What kind of Yamaha are you? Angler and Hunter Radio is a production of the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters.
please send your tall tales and comments to ahradio.ca.
Don't forget, you can check out past episodes of Angler and Hunter Radio on the web at anglerandhunterradio.ca or wrvoradio.com.